This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show.
And welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here every Saturday. We're doing life together, and we're so glad that you joined us. My co-host, Chris Weigel, is off this week, but I have a special guest here to talk about a topic that every family needs to listen to. We're going to talk about emergency contraceptives, and we're going to look at the myths, what we know about them, what we don't know about them. We're going to get an expert to give us the truth in terms of this topic. As a reminder, you can contact me on Facebook, Dr. Linda Mental, author and speaker, or on Twitter, Dr. Linda Helps, or just go to my website, if you forget all that, drlindamental.com. And I always post a blog on the topic of the show on the My Faith Radio page as well. So would love to have you join me there. Recently, I was asked to comment on a national news story about emergency contraceptives, and it was in light of the Planned Parenthood videos that were released. I was a little bit stunned when I started to read the number of teenage girls using the morning after pill as birth control. The statistic that was given to me on that news story was that more than one in five sexually active girls report using the emergency contraceptive. And that's a dramatic increase from a decade ago when it was 1 in 12 using the pill for contraception. According to the Center for Disease Control, easy access and relaxed age restrictions have led to this increase. At least that's the thinking. So teens can now buy that drug without a prescription. Maybe you didn't even know that. Your teen doesn't even have to let you know that they're going to get the drug. So joining me today to discuss emergency contraceptives and really give us an accurate picture of what is involved with these drugs is Dr. John Pierce. Dr. John Pierce is the chairman of Women's Health at Liberty University College of Osteopathic Medicine. He earned his undergraduate medical degree from the University of Florida. I guess go Gators, right? Completed That's his great. Internal medicine residency at Carolinas Medical Center, and then finished his obstetrics and gynecology residency at the University of Florida Health Science Center in Jacksonville. He spent 16 years at Virginia Commonwealth University as a clinician and educator, including his leadership as the OBGYN clerkship director and the residency program director. That's a lot to say, remember. But here, as a clinician, he's an active practitioner for women's health in the area of OBGYN. And he's in primary care. He deals with menopausal medicine. He has received multiple clinical and teaching awards. And probably most important, Dr. Pierce, you've been married to your wife, Nicole, for 21 years, and you're the proud father of four children.
That's correct. And I thank you for having me, Dr. Mental. And it's a great topic to really be able to talk about, because I think that there's a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of misinformation that sometimes is put out there.
Well, and that's our hope, is that we can really get you to be an informed listener when it comes to this topic. So I was just curious, were you surprised by those numbers that I quoted, one in five?
I'm not really surprised as much as following the trends as far as what's happened, because emergency contraception used to require a prescription, and in 2006 it became over-the-counter for those greater than the age of 18. And 2 years ago, in 2013, it became available to anyone without any age restriction, and that's at least a couple of ways to do emergency contraceptives, but they're readily available to anyone without any age restriction.
Now, that just amazes me, because not thinking, I sent my daughter, who's 22, to the store. I think she was under 21 at the time. I just sent her to the store to get some Sudafed for her cold, and she could not buy it. But she could go in there and get the pill without a prescription or without me knowing,
that
correct?
That is correct. And you don't have to be 22. You can be 18, or you can be 16 or 14.
14. Wow.
My son, who goes to school, has migraine headaches, and they cannot give him something for his migraine headaches or Motrin, but he could go and buy emergency contraceptives.
It would just be frightening to me as a parent to even think about that.
It is, and I think that's one of the problems with the ready availability of emergency contraceptives. It often decreases conversation with parents, with family, with friends, because this current generation is very savvy technologically, and they trust technology rather than just relationships. And therefore, a lot less conversation really occurs about the topic.
So let's just start with some clarification of terms, because I think it's very confusing. Is there a difference when we hear emergency contraceptive versus the morning after pill? Or I don't know if there's the day after pill. Sometimes people say the day after pill. Are those all the same? And then we hear about Plan B also. So can you give us some
distinctions? Okay, let's try to look at the big picture and then sort of narrow it down. Contraceptives in general are available with the goal of trying to prevent ovulation or to prevent pregnancy, usually by preventing ovulation, depending on the contraceptive that you're using.
Okay.
An intrauterine device will work a little differently and doesn't prevent ovulation, but it will prevent the ability for the sperm often to travel up into the uterus to have conception. Contraceptives most of the time, and when I say contraceptives, I'm referring to the pill, or there is other, like a vaginal ring or a transdermal patch, or even some of the shots like Depo-Provera, prevent ovulation so that ovulation usually does not occur.
Okay.
Now, emergency contraceptives are really methods to prevent pregnancy after a woman has had sex without contraceptives. And there are really four basic methods of emergency contraceptives. The first three are pills, and the last one is an intrauterine device. So you have the progestin-only pill.
Okay.
And as you mentioned, that's the Plan B, one step, which is just progestin in it. And it can come in one dose or two doses. The next one is a combined estrogen and progesterone pill.
Is that Ella? No. Is that a different one? Okay.
There is nothing.
I'm confused.
there is nothing on the market currently, but there are different combinations of available contraceptives that can be put together.
Okay.
And used as emergency contraceptives.
Okay.
The third one would be Ella.
Okay.
Or allopristol acetate, which is what we call a selective progesterone receptor modulator. What does that mean? It affects things the same way in trying to prevent ovulation, but we really don't know the exact mechanisms for all of these because of multiple different factors.
So just giving us all those categories, I just can't imagine as a teenage girl trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do and which one of those I could use without talking to a physician or hopefully to your parent to even know what's going on. That's confusing to me as an adult, much less somebody who is not clued into this at all.
And I can tell you both as not just a teen, but as medical students, as residents, or even practitioners that are out in practice that do not do this all the time, there is a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
So to think that a teen can understand this or a young woman can understand this without really understanding the mechanism or even understanding how fertility works, it's very confusing.
And that's the part we really want to get into with the rest of the show. So we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and we're going to listen to a few comments of what people are saying out there on the street about emergency contraceptives, but we're going to clarify what these mean, what it means for abortion versus pregnancy, and try to combat some of the myths that you may be hearing about. So we'll talk to you in a few moments.
As far as the morning after pill, I don't see a difference between that and abortion.
Did you know you have a conflict style? Everybody does. Are you a conflict avoider? Maybe you don't avoid, but instead react intensely. Or perhaps you are a great negotiator. Dr. Linda Mento offers a free conflict quiz when you visit her website, www.drlindahelps.com. Click on the picture of her latest book, We Need to Talk. Then have a friend or your partner take the quiz too, and see if you can navigate conflict successfully.
To take the conflict style quiz, click on the cover of Dr. Linda's latest book at drlindahelps.com.
This is the Mental Health Minute. Here's Dr. Linda.
Driving to work the last few days, I noticed the leaves are starting to change color. Even though afternoons still warm up to summer-like temperatures, the morning air has that crisp feel about it. Fall is coming. Whether it's summer to fall, fall to winter, winter to spring, or back to summer again, the change of seasons has an effect on us. Be aware of changes in your mood as a new season approaches. Without realizing it, a little depression can sneak in. Recognizing the onset of a gloomy mood can be one way of heading off the gray clouds before they become a storm. A little sadness that summer's passing is nothing to worry about, but if the gloom doesn't lift, seeing a counselor might be in order. The key, don't allow the darker days of fall or winter to keep you from enjoying your life every day. God's Word tells us, you created the night and the day. You set the sun and the moon in their places. You made summer and winter. The Lord, in all His wisdom, has ordained the seasons for us. So don't let a little change pull you down.
I think there's a difference. The morning after pill can cause an abortion where regular contraceptive prevents actual conception.
Well, welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where I have a special guest this week, Dr. John Pierce, who's an OBGYN and is talking to us today about emergency contraception, which is an important topic if you are a parent listening, if you're a young woman listening, grandparents, anybody who's a woman, a wife, a mother, a teenager. This affects everybody, so we need to be informed. And one of the reasons I was so glad that Dr. Pierce joined me was because of his knowledge on this topic, and he's here to clarify a lot of the myths and misinformation that we get. One of the reasons I wanted to say that was because I went to several websites. I was just browsing through, and I just typed in emergency contraception, and every single website I went to, in bold letters, it said, these drugs are not abortive. So tell us whether that's a truth or whether that is misinformation.
That's great. And the one thing I'd add to that is don't forget the fathers.
Yes, that's true. Thank you.
It is amazing for me and the power of what it means to be a father to speak to my daughter about these issues and the impact that fathers have. Fathers are almost removed from the conversation, and I would say bring the fathers to the conversation, to the table, to address these issues.
Well,
because it means a lot to your sons and daughters.
Well, let me just piggyback on that and tell you that a father who has a strong relationship with a daughter, the research shows that that daughter has less of a risk for being sexually active. So father's very important. So thanks for that.
Sure. As far as mechanism of action of emergency contraceptives, they're really...
Now, that sounds like a medical school term, so tell people
okay.
What that means.
You're right.
You're sounding like you're talking to the students.
So let me back up.
Yeah.
Emergency contraceptives is what we're talking about,
right.
Which are either a progestin-only pill, the progestin or estrogen combined pill, which can be formulated to be used in the same fashion, or the other medicine that we were talking about, Ella, or the medical name is Olipristal. And those are used as a dose in order to try to prevent pregnancy when contraception has not been used.
So these are the young women who a lot of times have had unprotected sex. They're concerned that they might become pregnant, and they're taking this pill after sex. So that's why it gets the morning after name.
That is correct.
Okay.
And what is available over the counter at any age is the progestin-only pill.
Okay. Is that Plan B?
Plan B.
Plan B.
And there are several other names
okay.
for it. Plan B is the most common one. Other names that you might see are My Way, Next Choice, One Dose.
Wow.
Take Action. The last one is Aftera. All of these are designed and marketed really towards the younger population that has the biggest problem with sexual activity, with not being married and not being in a true monogamous relationship, and therefore at greatest risk. And we know that these are the patients or the population that typically does not use contraception, nor do they really think through the issues about what are the implications of being sexually active.
And so you're a physician, and you and I teach together at the medical school, and one of the most important things that we teach our students is that you need to have people make informed decisions. So there's this notion of informed consent. So when a young woman looks at a website and it says these pills are not abortive, is that true?
The mechanism of action in general is not clearly established for all the emergency contraceptives. Most of them, we know, work by inhibiting or delaying ovulation. Now, ovulation is where the egg is released from the ovary, okay? But it also may interfere with fertilization of the egg when the egg and the sperm actually come together, or it may prevent implantation of the fertilized egg as it travels through the tube to be implanted into the uterus. But there's a couple of difficulties in trying to establish the exact mechanism. One is you never know the exact day of the menstrual cycle on which sexual intercourse occurs.
Right.
So if ovulation is really on day 14 of the cycle, and remember, when we talk about days of the cycle, the first day would be the first day of your period. Day 14 would be 14 days afterwards. But if you're sexually active on day 12, then that would probably help prevent ovulation. If it occurs on day 15 or 16, it probably is going to have some other impact. And there's not many young ladies that I know that really track and think about their actions and the implications of those actions and say, oh my goodness, this is before ovulation or this is after ovulation.
Well, most of them don't know, like you're saying. So the critical point there, from what I'm hearing you say, so if you took the morning after pill after you ovulated, there's a good possibility that you could have already had a fertilized egg. Is that right?
That's correct.
Right. So in that sense, doesn't it boil down to, in some ways, where you think life begins?
That's very true. And there is a lot of debate about that. In my old embryology book, it was very clear life begins at conception, when the egg and the sperm come together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's remarkable, even recent studies that have shown that those genes, when the egg and the sperm come together, there is active genes that occur from day 1 to 2 to 3 to 4 or 5 before implantation occurs. Some people call it an abortion only after implantation.
Mm-hmm.
But if we talk about this, it becomes very confusing and hostile often between factions of pro-life as well as pro-choice, because then you have to wrestle with these unknowns. Because often we don't know the day of the cycle that you're in. We don't know exactly the time of when this emergency contraceptive is taken.
Right.
And then also the different types of emergency contraceptives can work a little differently.
And some girls will take this sometimes up to 5 days after they've had sex. And so still is effective, according to what I read, that many days later. So you really do have a chance there if you're taking this, that the egg could have been fertilized. From what you're saying, if you believe life begins at conception, then would a young woman be potentially having an abortion with taking that pill?
There is some debate, but I believe so, absolutely.
So that is a possibility.
It is a possibility.
Yeah, and I
think in all of the literature, it also says that these are the other possibilities. But if we want to talk openly about it, you have to wrestle with these real issues about what it means and what is the intention going on.
Don't you think as a physician, you have the responsibility to tell a patient that I can't guarantee that this is going to be completely non-abortive? I can tell you there is a chance based on where you are in your cycle, when you took the drug, if you conceived or didn't conceive. I mean, I think I would want to know that as a patient, that there is that potential, especially if I had some religious belief about that issue.
I think it's crucial to be able to have those discussions, but you got to remember, Dr. Mental, there's pressure of time.
Yeah.
And it's a lot easier to say, oh my goodness, go to the pharmacy and get this progestin-only pill.
Yeah.
If you really want to have this discussion, that's going to take an additional 5 to 10 minutes to really sit down and talk about what you believe, why you believe it, and therefore what you must do in order to really be healthy.
So do you think that's a role that parents should be playing in this?
I think it's a huge role that parents should be playing. I think it's a huge role that really churches should be playing. Youth groups, when there is open discussion about this, more of these questions come out and you realize the misunderstanding or the lack of information that's there. How do we really educate our kids? How can we help the next generation think through these things very clearly to make wise decisions so it will go well for them?
So right before we go to the last break, just give us a few of the health consequences that can happen in taking that emergency pill, because I don't think we hear much about that. So what are the risks or the possible side effects of taking the morning after pill?
The CDC has come out recently and said there is no reason, under no circumstance, should emergency contraceptives be withheld. And that is a very, very strong statement from the CDC. In general, there have not been what is considered serious complications or deaths from emergency contraceptives. But when you take emergency contraceptives, there is concern for headaches in about 19%, nausea in about 12%, irregular bleeding about 1 in 5 to 6%, And then there's other smattering of symptoms like breast tenderness, abdominal pain, dizziness, and fatigue.
Just listening to that and then thinking about my daughter. If my daughter were taking that and she was not telling me, which I don't think my daughter would do, but if she didn't tell me, and then she's having irregular bleeding and vomiting, and some of those symptoms might be confused with the girl thinking she might be pregnant as well. But to have nobody to talk to about that and to not know what that means for your own body would be a little bit frightening, I would think, for some women.
It's frightening, and even from the American College of OBGYN, they say that you don't necessarily need to have any follow-up. And to me, that is frightening in the sense that you do not have real relationship and discussion further.
So stay with us. We'll talk more about this in a moment. This is the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I've got my special guest, John Pierce, back in a moment.
The morning after pill aborts a fertilized egg. Most contraceptives do the same.
There is a difference between regular contraception and the morning after pill, because the morning after pill is an abortive fashion, which is different from contraception.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mental, and I wrote the book, We Need to Talk, in order to help all of us deal better with conflict.
Dr. Linda Mental's latest book, We Need to Talk, is available now in bookstores everywhere, or visit her online at drlindahelps.com, drlindahelps.com.
The morning after pill, as far as I know, is actually causing a pregnancy to be removed from the womb. And regular birth control, like the pill or the IUD, is to prevent the egg from being released so that people can't get pregnant. That's what I understand.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, where today we're talking with Dr. John Pierce, an OBGYN, who is talking to us about emergency contraception. And as you just heard several people give their opinions, Dr. Pierce, we have a lot of people who have a lot of difference in opinion about what the morning after pill is really all about. But one of the things I want to get to before we run out of time is, what about the emotional consequences of taking the morning after pill?
I would say not just about taking the morning after pill, but about sexuality in general.
Yes.
And the emotional and relational struggles that can be there when there's not a healthy relationship. So when you're talking about emergency contraceptives and you just take it without someone else around and assistance, often, just like it is with abortion, people will withdraw, they will retreat, not really want to be able to share what I feel guilty about or what I'm really struggling with. And I've seen the same thing happen with emergency contraceptives. And I think that there is less and less conversations even about emergency contraceptives than there is about abortion. But it has this, I don't know if you want to say stigma, but it comes with it this guilt. When I know I did something wrong as a child or as a kid or as an adult, you struggle with it.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm able to really discuss that with a trusted colleague, my wife, someone else, it's mm-hmm. so much easier to be able to work through that and let it go or be forgiven,
yeah.
as opposed to holding that in,
yeah.
and then letting that fester and affect relationships in the future.
What about the boys or the men who pressure women into taking that? I mean, do you see this? Do you hear women talking about this, that I felt pressured? My boyfriend said I had to take it.
It is very hard to tell how often that is going on with emergency contraceptive use.
Mm-hmm.
It is so readily available. We don't really know who's buying it. And it does set you up for a lot of, whether you're talking about struggles in human trafficking, prostitution, or in relationships. We do not know.
Wow.
Do I think that that's a big concern? Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Because we see all the time what happens in domestic violence and dysfunctional families, that things are very quiet and it only comes out 1, 2, 5, 10, 20 years down the road.
Yeah. So what would be your suggestion if there's somebody listening, maybe somebody who's a church leader, maybe someone in a youth group, or even just a parent or grandparent, in terms of talking to their kids or their young adults about using these contraceptives? What would you say would be some of the important points to bring up in those conversations?
I think one of the biggest points to bring up is to start early at age-appropriate discussions. I love Kevin Lehman. He has a book, A Chicken's Guide to Talking Turkey About Sex.
He's got great titles for his books.
But the whole point is, begin talking about your body. Begin talking about hygiene and how you care for your body. Begin talking early on about the pressures and how uniquely created that is, which leads to, how do I handle my body? What does sex mean? How do I handle relationships? How do I get close to someone? At what point in time should I be involved sexually?
Yeah, those are really important conversations.
And when those discussions do not go on, you're left with a child to figure it out for himself. And in our culture, there is no guide, and you can do whatever you want.
And the pressure is so intense. And I think it's important to remind us that studies have shown that sexually active teens have increased rates of depression and suicide. They have lower grades. They have an increased number of sexual partners. Just the memories and what you have to deal with from that alone is pretty significant. And the divorce rates are higher. I mean, there's just no good news with the sexual acting out. I don't want to put anybody who's listening in a mode of condemnation, because as Dr. Pierce just mentioned, there's forgiveness for these acts. And so if you're someone who's been very sexually active, maybe you've been using the pill, God is there for you. There's grace. There's mercy. He forgives. And I think the question today is just to get you to start thinking about what you're doing and what this all means in terms of your own body. Dr. Pierce, we could have done an hour of this show, and I know you have even more to say in terms of just the holistic nature of this in terms of a person. So maybe we'll have to have you back and do another show. So appreciate you so much for coming. That's all the time we've got. I just hate this when we have such a great topic and we don't have any time. But many thanks to our producer, Pam Miller, our engineer, Jamie Hall. And thanks, of course, to you, Dr. Pierce, my special guest, for taking time. I know you have a really busy schedule, and I know it was hard to get you to the studio, and great expertise.
Thank you. It's really been a privilege.
From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, remember, we're here doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone.
Dr. Linda Mental Show is a production of WQLU-FM 90.9 in Lynchburg, Virginia.